So much good stories today, eh? Hope it's infectious. Eh? Hope it spreads. Just want to share word of God with you this morning. We've got to do a lot of Bible reading. It'll be on the big screen if you've got your Bibles with you. See if you're looking at your phone and your text or anything like that. It's always tempting. I'm always tempted. As a text comes up and you just try to scroll through your Bible. Again. I just want to set the scene. So going back in time, a lady came into the synagogue and she was just whispering and blowing her breath. And Eli the prophet came along and says, "Ah, she's drunk." And she says, "Look, I'm not drunk. I'm praying for a child. I can't have children." And he says, "Okay." He says, "By this time next year, the Lord's going to bless you with a child." And she gave birth to a child and says, "Lord, I want to be so thankful that I've become a mother. But I want to give this back to you. I want my child to be brought up in your house." And once the child was weaned, she gave the child back to God. And the child grew up and Eli, the prophet, in the synagogue. That child was called Samuel. He was one of the greatest prophets and leaders of Israel in that time. And Samuel just went about his day to day. But the children of Israel cried out to God, says, "Lord, we want to be like everybody else. We want to be like every other nation. We're looking at other nations and they have got kings. We don't have a king." And God says, "I want to be your God." And he says, "No, but look, they've all got this stuff. They've all got kings and palaces. We've got nothing. We want to have a king." And God says, "No, I want to be your king." And as this conversation goes back through Samuel, and God says to Samuel, "Okay, let them have their king." He says, "But their king, you'll be his servants. He'll put you into wars that you didn't want to go to, and he will rule over you. And it'll be a heavy yoke upon you." So Saul went out and looked out for a king. And as he was looking out, he came to his family, and there's this handsome guy that was head and shoulders above everyone else in Israel. His name was Saul. And God says, "Anoint that man as king." So Samuel went along and he anointed Saul as king. Now, Saul was a funny guy, if you read the story in the Bible. And he's very proud. He's very arrogant. He's very impulsive. And he cannot do what he's been told by God. And every time God says, "Look, just wait on me," Samuel was going to come along. And the thing was that Samuel would give the burnt offerings, and then God would tell him for the day and how to win the battle. But Samuel was never showing up, so he was going to whine. He would do the burnt offerings by himself, and he would be impulsive in this thing and impulsive in that thing. And he was like a wild horse that could never be reined in. And it's just time and time again that God was trying to get Saul to behave. And Saul did it one more time. He disobeyed God one more time. He was supposed to destroy all the animals, everyone. It was an enemy of God. And so Samuel came along and says, why is there still sheep? Why is there still goats? And Saul says, "It's because I want to keep them separate and I want to give it back to God. It's a blessing." And Samuel says, "No, you've disobeyed the word of God again. And because of this, this kingdom will be ripped from you and given to someone else." And at the same time, there's David and Jonathan, which is Saul's son. And they strike up an amazing relationship. And we just got to read. This is the far we're at in this bit in the Bible. And we just got to bring up the first bit, Nathan. So they strike up this amazing relationship. Now, Saul is going after your seed. I don't care how you would describe it in this modern way. But he was like two personalities. One minute, he was really loving his David and he's giving his daughter to David in marriage. And the other side, he was trying to kill David with spears and really destroy David because David had killed Goliath. And the song that went about was, "David, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands." And this got a rage up within Saul. And Saul really, really hated David one time. And then he really loved him the next time. And there was this huge thing going back and forth, this big seesaw, a love and hate in Saul's life and between David. And Samuel had anointed David as king. For God says, "Okay, Samuel, the time is over for mourning. I'm going to anoint someone as king. And Samuel anointed David as king, secretly, without Saul kenning. And Jonathan says to David, he says, look, I don't ken if it's going to happen. Can we get the hill bit up, Nathan? Okay. If we could just read this. Back you go, Nathan. We'll just read a verse at a time. Then David asked, how will I know whether your father is angry? Next verse. Come out of the field with me, Jonathan replied. And they went out there together. Then Jonathan told David, I promised by the Lord God of Israel, but by this time tomorrow or the next day at the latest, I will talk to my father and let him know at once how he feels about you. If he speaks favorably about you, I will let you know. But if he's angry and wants to kill you, you to be killed, may the Lord strike me and even kill me if I don't warn you so that you can escape with and live. May the Lord be with you as you used to be with my father. And may he treat me with faithful love of the Lord as long as I live. But if I die, treat my family with this faithful love, even when the Lord destroys all your enemies from the face of the earth. So this is a bond that's made between David and Jonathan. That Jonathan says to David, look, I don't care if it's going to happen in life, but I want you to promise me that if it ever happens, my family will be looked after by you. That you will not just betray my family, but you will stick by my family. And times passed, and there's a huge tussle over the years, and David finally becomes king of Israel. And David's now established as king. And he thinks back to the time. And if we get the next chapter up, David, Nathan. And he just thinks back to time. Wait a minute. I made a promise all that years ago to Jonathan. I wonder if only a Jonathan's family is alive. One day David asked, is there anyone in Saul's family still alive? Anyone who can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? He summoned a man named Ziba, who had been one of Saul's servants. Are you Ziba? The king asked. Yes, I am, Ziba replied. The king then asked him, is there anyone still alive from Saul's family? If so, I want to show kindness to them. Ziba replied, yes, one of Jonathan's sons is still alive. He's crippled in both feet. Where is he? The king asked. In Lodabar, Ziba told him, at the home of Micah, son of Amiel. So David sent for him and brought him from Micah's home. His name was, here we go, I've been practicing this for a whole month. I try saying that with false teeth, it's a wee bit loose. Okay? Mephibosheth. Okay. He was Jonathan's son and Saul's grandson. When he came to David, he bowed low in the ground in deep respect. David said, greetings, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth replied, I am your servant. Don't be afraid, David said. I intend to show kindness to you because my promise to your father, Jonathan, all these years ago. I will give you all your property that once belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will eat here with me at the king's table. Mephibosheth bowed respectfully and exclaimed, who is your servant that you should show such kindness to a dead dog like me? Then the king summons Saul's servant Ziba and says, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul's family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and produce food for your master's household. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, will eat here at my table. Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Ziba replied, yes, my lord, the king, I am your servant, and I will and do all that you have commanded. And from that time, Mephibosheth ate regularly at David's table, like one of the king's own sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah. From then on, all the members of Ziba's household were Mephibosheth's servants. And Mephibosheth, who was crippled in both feet, lived in Jerusalem and ate regularly at the king's table. And we just pray that God's got to ingrain something in our hearts about this story this morning. So here we have David remembering saying, wait a minute, I made a covenant, I made a promise to Jonathan. And I really want to stick to my notes because I could skip so much with this story. Mephibosheth, if it was his story, his story is still a while back. If it happened was Saul and Jonathan had been killed in a battle. And if it happened back then was that a new king would be established, and the custom was that a king would wipe out all their other family. So the nurse says, right, I don't want this kid to be killed by the new king, whoever he is. I'm going to run with him, and I'm going to go to a place of safety. And she'd run with him. But as she run with him, and he's 5 years old, she dropped him on the ground and crippled both legs and his feet. And they run to Lodabar. And here was a guy that was destined to be eaten at the king's table, destined for royalty, destined for the easy life, destined for all the goodness that came through his father and through his grandfather. But here he was, a crippled guy in Lodabar. Now, Lodabar was a crazy sort of place. Lodabar was a place that was surrounded by no pasture. It was an arid, it was dry, it was a lonely place, it was the middle of nowhere. There was no sea, there was no water, there was no cattle, there was no sheep, there was no milk to be, there was no pasture for them to have milk. Everything in Lodabar was crying out for just a hopeless situation. And here was this prince, once prince, he didn't even have a house. He was staying in his son, in Micah's house. He didn't even have a home to live in. And for 15 years, he was brought up in that hopeless situation, tended by another family, and just crippled at the lowest point in life. And David, 15 years later, says, wait a minute, is there Omdi and Jonathan's family that's still alive? So he goes to Ziba, and Ziba says, aye, but he's in Lodabar. David summons him straight away. And you can see the desperation when Mephibosheth comes before the king, thinking that he's going to wait to die. And the whole thing about this story for me is this. If only Mephibosheth understood the heart of the king. And so much people in the world we live in have knew misunderstand the heart of the Lord for their lives. There are so much things that we're going through, so much Lodabar situations that we're in life, a place of dryness, a place of hopelessness. It might be through drugs, it might be through drink, it might be through pills, it might be through illness, it might be through anything in life. It might be through not having a job, or just any qualifications that you feel that you're worthy enough. We're all going through Lodabars in life at one time or other. We all go through difficult situations in life at one time or other. And we can find ourselves in Lodabar, hiding for our lives, thinking, if only we understood the heart of the Lord. If only we understood that the heart of the king, it was like David. David's heart. David says, look, do not be afraid was the first thing that David says to him. I am not going to harm you. And sometimes people think, hey, if I tell God everything, if I tell God about my situation, he's going to get a big stick and he's going to whack me over the head. He should strike me doomed for how I live. He should strike me doomed for what I watch. He should strike me doomed for how I think about my life. I'm living in Lodabar. But God says, come into my palace. I'm going to take you out of your Lodabar. I'm going to take you out of a dry situation. I'm going to take you out of a helpless situation. I want to take you out of a place of lushness, a greenness. And as we read Psalm 23, we've got Psalm 23 up here. This is an amazing, amazing psalm. I say it to myself hour and hour again through the year. In Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. Is that Lodabar? No, that's a place of lushness. That's a place of greenness. That's a place of and just streams and waters and fertility. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing hope to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Even though we find ourselves in a low-debar situation, where is God? Where is he? He's right beside us. He's close beside us. No matter how far you end up in life, you can pick up a phone this week and you can find yourself in a low-debar situation. You can get doctors this week and you can find yourself in a low-debar situation. You can find yourself in the only times life goes up and down, is it? He was close beside you. There is not a thing that you will go through that the Lord will not be close beside you. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You are honored. You honor by anointing my head with oil, and my cup overflows with blessing. Surely, as my favorite verse, surely your goodness and your unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. God's goodness and his faithfulness and his love is going to chase after you, some of the Bible's version says. If God is wanting to chase you, if God wants to pursue you with his blessing, he wants to pursue you with his goodness, he wants to pursue you and lavish his stuff upon you. If only we will step out of our low-debar situations in life and we realize that God is for us, so who could be against us? And when things go wrong and when things go difficult and when bills come in, we cannot pay, who do we look to? We look to the Lord. He's provider. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the guy. He's the Lord. He's our king. He's our, like David in our situation, that he always provides for his children. He doesn't give stones. He gives bread, the Bible says. He is the king. Completely off my notes, but well. Here we go. Let's step back into the story. Can you imagine Mephibosheth coming into the presence of David? Abdi says I look like my mom. I wonder if Mephibosheth, God, looked like Jonathan. Can you imagine I'm coming into the king's presence? And David says, I know whose son that is. When you walk into God's presence, God doesn't just see you. He sees Jesus within you. He's your representative. And you can feel yourself, you might think I'm dirty. We have a situation. My hands are unclean. But when you walk into the presence of the king, he sees Jesus. And Jesus stands between you and all your dirtiness and the king. He's your advocate. And God doesn't see you with all your dirtiness. He sees that Jesus has cleansed it. And we come and we repent and say, look, like Jonathan, like Mephibosheth says, why would you have something to do with me, God? I just feel like a dirty dog. I just feel so wrong. I keep on doing it's wrong in my life. My mood keeps on running away. I keep on saying things that I didn't really mean. I make promises that I can't keep. I keep on just failing in so much areas in my life. But God sees Jesus within you. He sees hope within you. He believes in you. He loves you. He died for you. He wants you to be the best prince and princesses that you can be. As you step into there, and what does David do in that situation? David says, look, Mephibosheth, don't be afraid. I'm not only going to restore you. I'm not only going to just mark you right. I want you to sit at my table. I want to hear what you've got to say every day. I want you to spend time with me. I want, whenever I eat, I want you to be at my table. I want to treat you like one of my sons. Forget the past. Forget the hiding. Forget the low-debar in your life. From now on, you're living in my palace. You are my son, Mephibosheth. You're going to be like mine. I'm going to lavish my love upon you. And not only am I going to do that, Mephibosheth, I'm going to restore the things that was robbed in your life. And see the things that your father owned, I'm going to give them back to you. I'm going to give them back to you. And not only am I going to give them back to you, you're going to do nothing for it. For Ziba, who was your father's servant, is going to work the land. He's going to provide for you. His sons and his servants are going to work on your behalf. And you're going to go afore in a blessed life. And you realize something, folks? Half of the things that we are worrying about in this room, we shouldn't be worrying about. We shouldn't be worrying about these things. Why? Because God has gone before us. He's our provider. He's the God that goes before us. We think when we worry about nights, when we go to our beds at night, about this situation and that situation and that situation, God says, worry not. Cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. I've got your tomorrow's work too, guys. I have your tomorrow's work too. Don't be afraid any longer about your tomorrows. Don't be afraid of if you go to the doctors. Don't be afraid of what is in your life right now. For I am going before you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to restore you. You're going to eat with me. You're going to spend time with me. You're going to be like one of my sons. You're going to eat at my table every single day of your life. And the things that I'm going to provide for you all your life. We should be the happiest people on earth this morning. For we are serving a king. It's not just made of a wood or stone or brass. We are serving a real, living, active God that goes before us every single day. He knows our worries. He knows our fears. He knows the things that's wrong with our body. He knows when we get worried and when we get tired and we get fatigue. He said, look, rest in me. He lets me rest in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters and he restores my soul. Isn't that just amazing this morning? What are you worrying about this morning? What's your cares? What's your fears? What are you facing on Monday morning? Give it to the Lord. Why stay in Lodabar when we can sit at the table of the king this morning? What changes? So how do you change from Lodabar to the presence of the king? You say, Lord, I'm sorry for living the lie of me being in Lodabar. I give all my cares and my worries to you. But now, Lord, let me sit beside still waters. And that's where he restores your soul. So how about it, guys? Does anybody feel that so they're going to run in circles? Come to church on Sunday, and it's all up in the air, hands up in the air, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we find ourselves going back to what we can, back to our Lodabars. You see, it's so easy to accept our Lodabars. And this is what I find about working in Teen Challenge. Guys can be set free for drugs. Girls can be set free for drugs. They go out there and get a job. Everything in life seems rosy. And then slowly by slowly, you go back to your Lodabar. It's what we can, you see. Lodabar is what we know. We can how to act in that situation. Sometimes it's too hard work being a Christian. We go back to what we can about. And it's so hard to try to say, look, God's got so much for you. You've just dipped your toe in the water at this time in your life. It's been a hell year in Teen Challenge. You've just dipped your toe in the water of what life's really all about. Why would you go back to your Lodabar? But it's not just for drug addicts. It's for us all, is it? It's so easy to pick up the bad things in life and to look at the negative. Oh, I'm just a negative sort of person. That's Lodabar. It's so easy just to look at the black side of life. When we're feeling miserable and we get back and we think more negative. How about speaking the word of God our lives? How about reciting Psalm 23 our lives at times? How about speaking the word of Lord our lives at times? How about saying, no, I'm not going back to that place. I've been around about in Lodabar for years. I want to step in to what God's got for me. Let's just pray this morning. Are you stuck in Lodibar? Is there a thing in your life that's holding you, that's binding you, that's holding you back, and it seems as though you can go so far in life, but then it pulls you back, and you kind of break free from this Lodibar situation? Maybe it's worries. You're constantly worrying. You're a worrier, and you worry about this, and you worry about that. Maybe it's a fear. You're scared of this, and you're scared of that. Maybe it's just your qualifications. You feel as though you're not qualified to be the mom you need to be, or be the worker you need to be, or if God's got for you. Maybe it's insecurities. Maybe you're addicted to a substance. Maybe you feel as though you're going back to escaping through things in life, and you feel as though I kind of deal with normal life, and I need this to escape my life. And that is a load of bars in your life. Maybe it's something I even mentioned this morning. If that is you, stand. I'm going to pray for you. I'm not asking you to come in front. I'm not wanting you to reveal that the Lodibar situation is in your life. But I'm going to pray that God will drop the scales for your eyes. I'm praying for the bondages to be set free for your life. I'm praying for the shackles that shackled you all over the years to be set free in Jesus' name. You don't have to walk up here, walk out this building in a Lodibar situation. God has called you, God is a God of peace. God is a God of peace of mind. If maybe your mind is not at peace this morning, maybe you've got to just say, Lord, I'm coming before you. I'm coming before you. I'm tired of being in Lodibar. I'm tired of breaking free. I'm tired of trying to break free. But Lord, I pray, Lord, as I come into your presence, as I come into your courtroom, let's just get the worship band up. And as I come into your courtroom this morning, let there be something released in my life. Let the scales be dropped from my eyes. Let me see that I am in need of you, Lord. Let me see that I need your presence. I need your acceptance. I need to see you as you truly are. I don't need to see you as just a king that's got to chastise me. But Lord, I want to see you as you really are. I want you to help me in this situation. If that is you this morning, with every eyes closed, just stand. Just stand this morning. Seems to be a season that we're in it. God is challenging people to become Christians. It seems to be God is challenging people to step out. It's people that it's just a moving on. It's so great to hear testimonies this morning. But how about you? I can in my life, there is Lodibar in my life that I need to break free from. So Lord, we just thank you for those that are standing this morning. Oh Lord, if only we saw ourselves as you see us. Oh Lord, I just pray for your anointing, for your peace, for all the goodness that you've got for us, Lord. Lord, help us to accept the things in our lives that we cannot change. And Lord, we just give our lives afresh to you this morning. Not that we become saved again, but your word says that we are being saved. And Lord, we have to be renewing of our minds. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'll break the chains in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, as we step out of our Lodibar, if we speak to ourselves coming into the courtroom of the King this morning, Lord, like David, we can look at ourselves and say, I'm not worthy. I do not see myself. It's that situation. But Lord, you see us as your children, our prince and princesses in your courtroom. And Lord, would you pray for the chains of the past to be gone, for the fetters that has bound us to be broken off in Jesus' name. Lord, set your captives free. And Lord, I just pray for those that are standing. Lord, I pray, Lord, that your acceptance, I pray for the battlefield of the mind this morning. That is one of the biggest battles. I pray, Lord, for a breakthrough in that situation. I pray for the mind to be renewed in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that when I look at ourselves, is how we look at ourselves. But Lord, I pray you will change our vision to see us as you see us, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, for the words as we read in our Bibles to be accepting us, Lord. Lord, in this situation, Lord, that we see you as you see us. Oh, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you will help us, Lord, to break free. And Lord, we realize we have to come into your throne room time and time again. But Lord, help us to break free. Help us to become your children once again. Help us to feast at your table, Lord. Help us to be restored. Oh, Lord, restore the years locusts have eaten in our lives, Lord. Make us the happiest people on earth. For we are saved. We've got a destiny. We've got a purpose. We've got a Savior who cares for us. We've got a King who loves us. We've got a church that we're plugged into. And Lord, you've saved us for a purpose. And Lord, help us to focus on these things in life. Help us to rise from the ashes, as the song sung this morning. Help us to rise from the ashes, Lord, and to become children and princesses of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I hope you're encouraged this morning to become all as God has made you to be. You don't have to be stuck in your situations. You don't have to be stuck in the past. But today is a new day in your life. If you stepped in here, those of you who stepped into church coming in this morning, you rose up at night this morning, you're walking out with a new person. That God has changed you from glory to glory. Okay, there's still battlefields. Okay, there's situations you still need to come against. But God is for you. God is for you. He believes in you. He wants the best for you. He is going and he's pursuing you every single day of your life with his goodness. Amen. Amen.